Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stefano Never Told You, your production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to another edition of Sminty Fiction. Terminus, Chapter 11, Point 1, because once again, I'm really bad at controlling my chapter length, which I've also discovered is a fan fiction tag.
Well, I like the introduction with that voice. Like, it was a specific, like, advertising, but...
Yes.
That was
I'm
nice.
Very I excited.
It.
I told you, this chapter, which did get split into two, so this is part one of Chapter 11, I am really, really excited to talk about... It's got a lot of issues, but we're going to discuss them. So this is a once a month thing we do. It is a bit more soundscape. No, I mean, we don't generally soundscape. So it's more soundscape than what we normally do, which is nothing. But Christina is the one behind that, makes it amazing. So to just send the love to Christina. Let us know. We'll pass it along.
She's been doing so much good work.
Really has. Putting up with all of our nonsense. So, yes, this is an ongoing thing. And it is based on a NaNoWriMo National Novel Writing Month, that my first one that I did back in 2010. It's not really edited. I like to look back and see what was going on in my head in this month that I wrote this. But we're getting to some of the climax is coming. I'm very excited. So content warning before we get into this. Just in general, child endangerment, not so much in this chapter, but it's just hanging over the whole thing. There is slut shaming. We'll talk about it. Discussion of infertility, wanting to have a kid and being unable to. Toxic jealousy, which I don't know if it's a term, but I'm putting it in here. Mentions of violence, inadequacy, insults around the ability to be a mother, internalized ableism, shame, and fear around pregnancy. This chapter will make you mad, I put in parentheses. so that's fun.
There that is.
There it is. All right, so here's my recap. Humanity is dying out due to a sex-based disease. There's a new government that has taken control as the population collapses in on itself, and they are ruling, reigning alongside a religious group named ARM, and they control everything that has to do with conception, and if a child is born, they control everything about that as well. Our main character, Tilda, escaped with her infant son, Madison. They have now been on the run for 7 years. They are being followed by the enforcers who work for the government, and they have had run-ins with them. Tilda was injured. She was shot. There was a car chase. Tilda met a kind woman named Lynn who helped Tilda recover and told her about a resistance and a possible cure for this disease that might be in Kansas City. After a violent conflict with the enforcers that resulted in a couple of fatalities, Tilda and Madison are saved by members of the resistance and are taken to their secret headquarters. That is where we left off. So let us get right into it.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
The big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
How are you feeling? Tilda blinked to awareness, fragmented memories washing up on the shores of her consciousness. Zuleika perched on the bed across from her. You've slept for almost an entire day. I thought I'd better wake you up and see how you were doing. Pushing herself into a sitting position, she eyed the woman opposite her critically, unsure. Zuleika held out a cup of water for her, and she took it, sipping carefully. Madison pulled himself up next to her, rubbing his eyes, and Tilda passed the cup to him. He took it wordlessly. Zuleika smiled at him, his hair stood up on one side. I thought you might like some food, and then we could go on a tour. Sound good? Tilda nodded, and Zuleika stood happily. Stay there. I'll bring you a tray. I figured you might want to eat in here. You probably aren't up to all the questions you'll get from this lot. The woman left. Tilda stretched, banishing the last vestiges of sleep. Madison passed the water back to Tilda, pressing into her side, watching the doorway fretfully. Neither of them spoke. Tilda didn't know what to say, consumed with nervous anticipation, red splattering on white replaying relentlessly in the back of her mind. Zuleika returned, balancing a large plastic tray. Could you pull that table over for me? Tilda tugged at the metal rolling table over. She imagined it was designed for people too ill to get out of bed. Zuleika slid the tray onto the table. There were modest foods, but Tilda was happy to see them. Sliced apples, oatmeal, carrots, celery, and a small cup of milk. You have milk? Tilda asked dazedly. Yes, Zuleika responded, dragging a chair over. We have a few domesticated animals and a small garden. Our responsibilities are divided to keep the place running, and we have a group in charge of scavenging food, growing food, making sure there's enough, and so on. We don't have much milk, but I thought, after all you've been through, you deserve some. Madison held the cup in his hands as though it were precious china. He'd never had milk before. At least, not in memory. Drink it slowly, okay? Tilda instructed quietly, rubbing his shoulder. It's amazing what you've done. Tilda looked up at the woman, wary. Keeping from the enforcers all this time? Tilda didn't respond, not seeing anything amazing about it. Taking a bite of oatmeal, Tilda asked, "Do the enforcers know you're here?" "Not precisely," Zuleika scratched above her eye, sighing. "They know there are some of us here, but not so many. I expect they think we're just a group of stragglers holed up together. Lost causes, low priority. So they don't know there's a resistance." Tilda found that hard to believe. "Not one that could do them any real harm." Pondering that, Tilda glanced over to Madison, who replaced his now empty cup on the tray. She laughed. "You've got a bit of a mustache there, Mouse." Sheepish, he wiped his mouth with the cuff of his jacket. "Did you like it?" He nodded enthusiastically, drawing a chortle from Zuleika. "We'll get you more later." Madison blushed, munching on an apple slice. "Could you?" Tilda raised her eyes to meet Zuleika's. "Do you any real harm?" Zuleika considered her for a moment, then turned her attention to Madison. "Yes," she answered slowly. For some reason, even though it was the response Tilda had been hoping for, the tendrils of foreboding itched at the back of her brain. "How many of you are there?" "Not sure. Couple of hundred, I guess." You'd have to ask Mark for the exact number. But Tilda was stuck on the first part. Madison, flabbergasted, stuttered, 100? "Yes. We've got lots of us crammed in here. Adults mostly. Some children." "Children?" Madison exclaimed while Tilda asked simultaneously, "There are children here?" "Yes." Zuleika's voice was wistful, almost bittersweet. "Not many, but a few. Some were rescued by their parents and brought here. Others were born outside of conception centers and came here for protection and our resources. We even had one born here a couple of years ago. The mother was pregnant when she arrived. She wanted to go into hiding." Tilda felt faint for a moment, processing this. Madison gawked at Zuleika. He'd never seen another child before. "You can see them later, if you like," Zuleika offered. "We have a playroom and a classroom." In her shock, Tilda momentarily forgot how to swallow and almost choked on a bit of carrot. Appetites forgotten, Zuleika rolled away the table and Madison immediately hopped down. Tilda realized she didn't have her pack. It sat on the floor next to the bed. She wondered if it had fallen off in the night or someone had removed it for her. Seeing her hesitation, Zuleika said, "You can leave it here. No one will steal it." Though it went against her instincts, the last time she'd left her pack, her desperation for supplies had led to their capture. The lingering soreness in her lower back made the decision for her, and she left it sitting next to the bed. Zuleika toured them around the underground complex, explaining its origins as an underground war museum, how the resistance had started as just a few people, some that had defected from the state or conception centers, others just looking for some kind of meaning. "Why are you here?" Madison asked innocently, eyes wide as he stared at the rows of rooms, some occupied and some not. Tilda chided him for the personal question, but Zuleika dismissed his apology. "It's all right. I thought I could change things. Make them better." "Have you?" Madison took Tilda's hand, shying away from the passing strangers openly staring at him. "I hope so." Again, Tilda could detect something like melancholy in the woman's voice. "Are you ready to meet some of the other kids?" Excitement and apprehension played on Madison's features, but he nodded emphatically. Tilda could feel his step quicken as Zuleika turned down a corridor that had two large rooms on either side. "We call this the children's corner. That's the classroom." Madison stood on his tiptoes to see inside. "And this," she indicated the room on the right, "is the playroom." Inside, there was an odd assortment of toys, puzzles, games, and books on the shelves and littered on the floor. The walls had been decorated with blades of grass, dragonflies and flowers, with stars and planets on the ceiling. But the three children playing demanded all of Tilda's attention. Zuleika called out, "Hello, children. I want you to meet Madison." She pulled Madison forward. He stumbled, stupefied. "Madison, this is Sophia. A girl with black curly locks of hair that looked a few years older than Madison smiled at him timidly, revealing a gap where she'd lost one of her front teeth. Casey, a teenaged-looking kid with dark skin, nodded. And Phoenix, a redhead that Tilda placed at around 3, waved happily at him. Madison is going to play with you for a while, right? Tilda clutched his hand impulsively, afraid to let him go. He looked up at her, asking silently. Forcing a smile on her face, she released her grip by sheer force of will, her fingers curling, aching to retake his hand to keep him from leaving. But she let him go. He approached tentatively, kneeling down next to them. They all stared at each other, and the women stared at them. Sophia broke the silence. "Do you want to play a game?" Madison nodded, and she pulled him to a shelf where they perused the games, Sophia giving basic rundowns of how each one worked. Tilda watched, transfixed, and didn't shift her attention when Zuleika said, "Come on, the leadership of the resistance wants to talk to you." But Tilda couldn't move. Madison had never left her sight other than when she slept or for a minute here and there. The thought of leaving him here filled her with dread and panic, her hands itching to reclaim his. Fingers fastened around her bicep and she jumped. "He'll be fine here. I promise." Tilda swallowed. "Where? Shouldn't they have a supervisor?" "Casey is old enough to watch over them," Zuleika assured. "And Grant's across the hall. He's one of our teachers." "Madison, your mother and I will be back in a little while, okay?" Madison turned an uncertain gaze to them, but Sophia tugged his arm and regained his attention. Tilda allowed Zuleika to lead her away, embarrassingly close to bursting into tears or taking Madison and bolting. A part of her was missing, a part she needed to breathe. She focused on drawing breath normally as the rooms and halls blurred past. Eventually, they came to a large, dark room with a circular table sitting in the middle. Mark, Taylor, Amelia, Adam, and 2 other men she didn't recognize sat around it. Zuleika guided her to a chair and took the seat to her right. Silence fell across the table. Tilda didn't notice until someone broke it. "This is Tilda Nohan." The others regarded her steadily. Mark leaned forward, eyes unwavering from Tilda. "Can you tell us why you're state priority number one?" Tilda shrugged and responded hollowly. "I didn't know I was." Nor was she entirely sure what that meant, but she was too embarrassed to ask. "It doesn't matter why," Taylor asserted with the air of someone continuing an argument that got interrupted. "All that matters is that they are." "From what I can tell," Adam put forth, "it's not her they want, it's the kid. Her, they'd just as soon kill." Why were they speaking about her like she wasn't here? "Package deal," Taylor sat back in her chair, crossing her arms. "That kid is not leaving her side willingly. That has got him brainwashed pretty good." Tilda's mouth fell open. "Taylor," Amelia censured warningly. "What?" Directing her attention to Tilda, she accused. "How old were you when you had him? 12? Tilda stared at her, color draining from her face. "Shut up, Taylor," one of the men Tilda didn't know cut in. "You're just pissed as hell that she has a kid and you don't." Under the table, Zuleika gave Tilda's fingers a brief squeeze. "Back to the matter at hand, please," Mark scratched his scruffy facial hair. "If we're going to do this, we need to act quickly." To Tilda, he asked, "Do you want to undermine the state's authority and put power back in the people's hands?" Tilda stared at him blankly. "Who talks like that?" He threw his hands up in frustration. "I have to say I was expecting more from a damn priority number one. I thought they wanted you out of the way because they were afraid you'd start a rebellion or something." "I'm telling you, they want the kid," Adam interrupted, but Mark waved him off. "Why did you come here?" Tilda floundered before venturing. "I heard there was a cure." She sounded so naive, even to her own ears. Mark studied her for a moment, leaning back in his chair. "No." Tilda's heart dropped, but his next statement had her jerking her head up to meet his cool gaze. "But there is a vaccine." a vaccine. Her lips were numb, her mind racing as she computed what having a vaccine meant. Yes, Amelia said. Or there was one. Tilda mouthed, was? And Mark picked back up. A few scientists in Chicago developed one a few months back. Don't know why, but the enforcers destroyed the lab about a week ago. But we have reason to believe that there was a second lab, one the enforcers didn't know about. There was an underlying current in the conversation that Tilda didn't understand. But they will find it soon. They're searching. So we need to leave now if we want to have a chance at getting there first. Tilda glanced surreptitiously around the table, trying to get a read on why Mark would be addressing her. He'd already made clear she was a massive disappointment, why everyone was staring at her. Her confusion must have shown on her face. Mark specified, "We want you to come with us." If anything, that baffled her even more. "But you said, think about what a vaccine would do. You could protect Madison, your son, from HSV-5. We could start to have children again. We could rebuild. We could have hope. Don't you want to be part of that?" None of this made sense to Tilda. "You don't even know me," she pointed out weakly. "And you want to take me to help?" Mark's eyes shuddered. "Yes." Tilda was shaking her head without even realizing it. She subconsciously looked around her for Madison. From beside her, Zuleika said, "I'm sure this is a lot. You can think about it." "We don't have time," Taylor snapped. "If she's too scared to get a vaccine for her son, she's even more worthless than I thought." Smacking her hand against the table, she stood abruptly and left the room. "Ignore her," Zuleika intoned, raising her voice to address Mark. "We won't be ready to move until at least a day. Merlin and Holly are still out getting vehicles and weapons. She can think about it." Tilda was still trying to grasp what happened. "You better make your decision fast." "And the kid," Adam reminded Mark in a low voice. "We have to take the kid." "No," Tilda disagreed vehemently. "I'm not taking him near enforcers." "Oh, so now you want to play responsible parent," Adam sniped. Riled, Tilda retorted instinctively, "You shot two men dead in front of him." "We saved him, and you," Adam argued. "We protected him when you couldn't." Tilda ground her teeth, simultaneously outraged that he judged her when he hadn't been there during the years of evading capture and agreeing with him. "And taking him into a battlefield is the responsible thing?" "We're going to get him a vaccine," Mark interrupted. "The first one. Your son will be the first of a new generation. A rebirth." "We could bring the vaccine to him," Tilda argued, failing to comprehend how this idea made any semblance of sense. Why were they looking at her like she was the unintelligent one? Tension swelled in the room. Mark propped his elbows on the table. "The enforcers won't kill Madison. They want him alive." Something in her mind shifted and fell into place, a shadow-like disgust dawning in the back of her mind. Her mouth fell open, and she forced it back shut with a click. Sighing, Mark said, "Think about it." He swiveled to face one of the other men in the room. "Any updates on that broadcast?" "No." The man, a redhead, ran a hand through his hair. "The signal is strong as hell. We've pinpointed the point of origin at ARMS headquarters in D.C. But as far as hacking into it..." He exhaled heavily. "I think remote is out of the question. Don't get me wrong, we're happy to keep at it. Maybe boosting our own signal will help, but as of now, I think it has to be done manually, at the main hub." He licked his lips. "We'd have to infiltrate ARM and jack the signal that way." Silence fell as everyone digested that, Tilda only half listening, an aching helplessness flourishing within her. "Damn," Mark hissed. The redhead stared at his hands, palms flat against the table. "I know." "We have to get the message out there," Mark exclaimed. "The people need to know there's a vaccine." "We'll keep trying." we could start looking at training someone for infiltration, Adam suggested. Amelia protested. They'd have to get into ARM headquarters, the most heavily guarded building left, find out where the system is, how to work it, send out the message, which, by the way, would give them away immediately if they managed to make it that far undetected. Sometimes sacrifices must be made, Mark countered in a clipped voice. No one responded to that, all eyes fixed on the tabletop in front of them, unwilling to speculate on which of them may end up with that task, waiting for someone to volunteer or to be volunteered. Tilda couldn't shake the overbearing sensation of feeling young and naive. Why hadn't she realized it would be like this? Keep working, Mark instructed. In the meantime, we need to focus on getting the vaccine and finding some way of replicating it. Does anyone have anything else? No one made a move to speak, so Mark adjourned the meeting. Tilda practically jumped out of her seat, striding down the hall, only barely keeping herself from running. Instinct leading her to Madison.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
That brings us to the end of this 11.1 chapter of Terminus. I did want to address a couple of things in this one. Okay, so first of all, yes, there was slut shaming. It was very purposefully done. It's not something that I read back on and was like, oh, I didn't know that was slut shaming. I knew it was slut shaming when I wrote it. And that was when I was thinking about this world and how it would exist, and this, especially the religious part of it that I just thought would rise up. I feel like there would be slut shaming of anyone who got pregnant outside of a conception center, because it would be seen as like, you couldn't control yourself, in heavy quotes. So it was purposely done, and I just wanted to acknowledge that it's horrible and toxic and gross. And when I was reading it, I was getting really mad. And that character, because I know I said in the last edition of this that I choose names very purposefully. I just want to also say that character is not based on Taylor Swift. Even though she kind of is described looking like her and her name's Taylor, that is not where that came from.
Oh, my.
Yes, that is not it. But also, it's fascinating to me reading back over this, because this is a thing that sometimes breaks my heart in a lot of media I read or write or see now. And I think it's... I mean that in a way, a good way, like in the Nicole Kidman theater way where she's like, this is where heartbreak is okay. Some people don't know what I'm talking about. They're like, what is going on?
Reference. I love this.
But I mean that in like a good story way. I don't mean that in a bad way. But where you think like you're going to get to this resistance, you're going to get this cure, you're going to, like, here's your hope. And it's just not what you thought it was. And that disappointment and that letdown, and not only that, in this case, not only is it not what Tilda thought, she's kind of being villainized by everyone for having a kid. Not everyone, some people are definitely on her side, but it's also too kind of the real, it's very sad looking back at this, of the Madison never having seen another child before. That was his first time seeing other kids, which all of their names, I was like, oh, I know who I named this after. But yeah, it was cool. It was cool and sad. And this is also where I tried to write romance, and it's clear I did not care about it at all. So if you were picking up on some strange vibe, that is what it was.
I like it. That's even better. Awkward romance.
Oh, so awkward. And I knew exactly who it was. And I would love listeners to write in who you thought it was, because I'm not going to say. Because when I was looking back over it, I was like, there's nothing romantic about this. And this is, in fact, kind of a, like, antagonistic relationship.
Is it like a second grade romance?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like pulling the hair and then run away. Yeah.
Run away.
Yeah. No, it is. I mean, it's not even like... I remember thinking it was going to be romance, but when I read back over it, I would be shocked if anyone else who read this thought there was going to be a romance. There's like no hints at all. He's just kind of mean to her. But anyway.
Perfect.
Looking back, I'm now like, yeah, you probably were asexual back then too. You just didn't realize. Did not care about any of that. But yes, I hope that you enjoyed this chapter, even though it probably really frustrated you and made you angry. It did me too. And we'll be back with part two next month. But in the meantime, if you have any thoughts, any theories, any guesses, or any suggestions for other fiction things we could do that are in the public domain, that'd be really cool. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter, I guess, at Momstuff Podcast. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff I Never Told You. We have a Tee Public store with some merchandise. And we have a book that you can pre-order at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com, both as a physical book and an audiobook. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, who makes this happen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. Our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Also, thank you.
Yes. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.